I feel like it is really important for me to start today's episode with a little tough love. Okay? Like, this is just going into this. Let's know that I'm going to push you and challenge you to really think about everything that we talk about in today's episode, because I have an expert on the show today that's going to help us develop better show notes. And I know there's a lot of you out there that it's making you uncomfortable already as soon as I say show notes. You're like, yeah, it's on my to-do list. Like, I'm going to do that in the future when I have a handle on everything else. And maybe that's you. Or maybe you've been doing this for a while and you've been putting off really creating awesome show notes for your podcast. Well, I want you to listen to everything we're going to talk about today and really take it in and ask yourself, how can I make my podcast show notes better? But let's get into today's episode.
Welcome to the Profit Podcast, where we teach entrepreneurs how to start, launch, and market their podcast. I'm your host, Crystal Profit, and I'm so excited that you're here. Thanks for hanging out with me today, because if you've been trying to figure out the world of podcasting, think of this show as the time-saving shortcut you've been looking for. So let's get right to it, shall we?
Okay, so today's guest, y'all, I just have to tell you, I had so much fun talking to Chelsea about blogging and podcast monetization, using your show notes, and just so many things that were really aha moments for me. And I cannot wait to get into all the things that we discussed, because if SEO and creating show notes and blogging, all those things have been a real mystery to you, then you will find so much value in today's conversation. So Chelsea Clark is a content monetization strategist, an investor, a business broker, and the founder of an entrepreneurship blog, podcast, and school, Her Paper Route. Her specialties are monetization, growth hacking, and website investing. Yeah, we're going to get into that. I actually ask a few questions about website investing and what it's like to almost buy a website and flip it, because it sounds so interesting. She's grown her company to earn over $500,000 a year and loves to share business strategies to help others become financially fit. So I cannot wait to dive into this conversation with Chelsea. So here it is.
All right, Profit Podcast listeners, I'm so excited to have Chelsea here on the show today. So welcome to the show, Chelsea.
Thank you so much, Crystal, for having me. This is such an honor to get to be on your show. So thank you.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I have so many questions. I was telling Chelsea before we got started, I'm like, I have so many geeky technical questions that I want to ask you, but we're going to wait. We're going to baby step into this, because we're talking about something I know a lot of you are really overwhelmed with, or maybe just the idea of it paralyzes you, and that is websites. But I'm so happy to have Chelsea on the podcast, because she's been dealing with websites for a long time. So Chelsea, kind of give us a backstory on how you got into the online business space and what you do today.
Okay. Yeah. So I actually went to school for digital media, and that's where I fell in love with building sites and sort of the tech nerdy side of things. But I always had a passion for anything that was creative. So anything that allowed me to make something or write something that really kind of took me down a creative path. And so building websites was something that I was able to use to connect those two things, the geeky tech stuff and the creative stuff. And I just sort of fell into blogging as a hobby to begin. And my digital marketing business grew from there. And I started working with clients. I was building their sites, and I was also growing their social media content and growing their business through content marketing. So that's like, you know, writing and creating cool graphics and just sort of getting people's brands out there online. But really, it was blogging and specifically blog monetization that really lit me up. So I started building sites I would monetize them with affiliate marketing or create digital products or even ad revenue if I was getting a lot of traffic to a certain site. And then I would sell it. So I'd actually just sell the blog, and I was able to grow them quickly, build them, sell them over and over again. And then that developed into the business where I'm at right now, where I do that full time. And I also help people buy and sell online businesses and websites. And, you know, having a website for your podcast is so important, because we all use all of these great tools and, you know, for syndication, we have our shows all over the place, but we really need a home for our episodes, a home for our website and our brand. So creating your own website is not that hard. I know, like, if you're just getting started, it can feel really overwhelming, but there's so many great tools nowadays that just make it so easy. So that's how I got my start, and that's why I'm always so excited to encourage people to build their own sites, or, you know, work with someone that can help them get the site that they need, because it's the only place where you really own your content is your own website. We don't own our social media accounts. We certainly don't own our iTunes, Apple Podcasts account. So you do need your own site.
I love this. I love this. And what a fantastic place to start, because, okay, this is just me being, I warned y'all ahead of time. I'm so geeky when it comes to doing things, because I've been doing websites. I think I started my first one in 2017. So I haven't been doing it as long as you have, but I'm curious, what's been the biggest game changer that has come on the market from when you first started dealing with websites to today, where you're like, you kids don't even know how easy you have it these days.
Oh, yes. Oh, my goodness. Well, when I started building websites, it was on like Dreamweaver, where you really had to build every little bit of code offline and then bring it, like, upload it online and sort of see if it looks okay online, and then go back offline and tweak things. And it was so time consuming and miserable. And nowadays it's like there's WordPress, or there's site builders. There's things that you can just go in with a couple of clicks. You can drag pictures around. You don't have to do any coding or anything that may be a block getting in your way of starting. You can really just jump in, decide, I'm going to create a website. And then that day you can be up and running with your website. It's that easy nowadays.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. I've heard of Dreamweaver. I've never done anything in there. Oh, cool. Actually, it's funny because I don't know how many people in my audience know this about me, but whenever I first went to college, I was a computer information systems major for about a semester.
Oh, wow.
And then, so I took Visual Basic, and then I realized, just being in that class, I was like, I'm way out of my league. I felt like everybody in the class already knew so many more advanced things than I did. And so I switched to marketing, and I'm like, you know what? I don't regret my decisions so much, but I'd love to hear the backstory of, I mean, like, you know, the ins and outs of website building, and you've been doing this for a long time. So I want to ask you, what is it actually like to create and sell websites? Like, is this I feel like this is like a black market world that I don't even know about. Like, how does that actually work?
Well, think about it. So the sites that you've built for yourself, it's really no different. You've used your marketing experience to grow the traffic and the audience and your email list and all of those things that you've done. That is creating, that is making your website more valuable with every asset that you're adding to it, or you're growing your Instagram account. That's another asset. These are all things that if you decided down the road you might want to sell it, these are things that buyers will be looking for. And it's really no different when you're starting a site with the intention to sell it right away. You're thinking about the same things. You want to create some sort of really cool digital product as a lead magnet to get people to grow your list. You want to create a digital product to sell, or a different way that you have your podcast monetized. It could even be that you're creating a podcast for the purpose of selling it. I've seen that happen too. You can really do so much with it. And when you want to sell it, you're thinking about, okay, buyers are going to be looking at how much it's earning. So you're definitely going to want to track your profit and loss from the get-go if you can, or start doing it now. And so that way you can really see what money is coming in and where you're spending it, just so that when buyers are looking at it, potential buyers, they get a good understanding of what the costs are of running your business and how they may be able to continue the income that's coming in, or grow it, make it bigger. And you'll also want to focus on your traffic, of course. It's like I say, it's no different than you would be things that you would be thinking about when you're growing your own website. It's the same things that buyers want to see too. So you'll want to have blog posts that are written with great SEO in mind, you know, really high value content. And if it's a podcast website, you'll probably want to have your show notes, which I know we'll dig into a little deeper, but having some sort of text and image-based resources in addition to your audio podcast, you're just putting together a really great package for a buyer to take on, and then they can run with it however they want to.
That's so interesting. Yeah, I love, thank you so much for breaking that down because it makes sense. It's just like, you know, not buying, but creating any other type of business that you eventually want to sell, you know, if it's a startup and you're looking to be acquired or anything like that. So that's so interesting. And I guess I tried blogging before I started. Like, I really got into podcasting. I was not a great blogger because it feels like death by 1,000 paper cuts anytime I have to sit down and write something. I'm much better at speaking about it, grabbing that transcript, and then I can work with the actual text that way. But oh my gosh, blogging, it was so overwhelming for me. So I actually want to go back to what you were saying about SEO, because I know that this is a big mystery to a lot of my listeners. And it was a huge mystery for me as well when I got started. I think my problem was I was just stubborn. I was like, oh no, I can come up with great titles. I don't need some machine or some algorithm telling me what I need to do. I'm just going to do my own thing. And guess what happens?
Nothing. Yeah.
Nothing. Happen. So can you give us some tips as podcasters is how we can use SEO to maybe title our episodes better, or some of the tools that we can use to kind of even get us started with understanding SEO?
Definitely. So as a podcaster, SEO is like your best friend because you want your episodes to be heard. You want people to discover your show. And there's so many shows out there. It's like a big sea of podcasts. And, you know, it's hard enough to rank in podcast ranking on Apple or, you know, Google Play, Google Podcasts, I think it's called now. But if you write your blog post, I'm saying blog posts, but really it would be like show notes for your podcast. You want to include really great keywords that are just going to help people find your show. And doing your keyword research is how you figure that out. So you can go and use free tools like the Google Keyword Tool. It's found in Google Ads. So you can go in and as if you're setting up an ad, but you don't actually have to start an ad. You just go and you can use the tool and type in the topic that your episode is about. And Google's going to show you a bunch of ideas, keyword ideas of what people are searching. So related to what your episode's about, what people are already searching about, what they want to learn and understand more about that topic. And then not only can you use that to write really great titles for your show, but you can actually use that to write really great descriptions and show notes and then blog post to promote that episode. So you're just taking what people are already saying and you're using it to your advantage, because by using those keywords, it means that Google will pick that up from the content that you put out and Google will start showing that to people who are out there looking for what your show is about. And it's just sort of a way to cut ahead and get your show out there. And now, oh, sorry, go ahead, Crystal.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I mean, it's a pretty heavy topic, but I mean, if you just focus on the foundations, the very basics where you're doing keyword research, like I said, you can even just go right to Google search and start typing something in and Google will show you some related searches down at the bottom and it'll show you what pages are already ranking on the first, second, third, 100th page for those search terms. And you can see what other people are speaking about in their shows or writing about in their articles. And you can just use that as inspiration to make your content much better. And if you really want to jump ahead, you can always do paid advertising, of course, and that'll just put you right at the top of search results. But focusing on great SEO for your show is just, I think it's really, really important from the get-go. And it doesn't have to be as scary or overwhelming as I know it feels at the beginning. I do have a free SEO foundations course, and you can come and check that out. It's at herpaperroot.com/free SEO course. And it just gives you the foundations, because I know there is so much to dig into and learn, but just knowing the basics of how to format your show notes, how to format your articles with great SEO in mind is just going to help you so much.
I totally agree. And I'm thinking about the podcaster that's listening to this, and they're like, okay, well, I've been meaning to, like, 2021 is going to be my year to create my podcast website, but I've already been podcasting for, let's say, 6 months. And now I'm overwhelmed in going, like, do I need to go back and retitle all of my old stuff? Like, where would, if someone was kind of in that middle, right, where they're not just getting started with content creation, but maybe they've been doing it wrongly, for lack of a better word, maybe they've been doing it the wrong way for a while. Would it be as simple as going back and changing the titles using some of these tools, or is there something a lot more complicated than that?
No, you nailed it. It's really not more complicated than that. You never are doing it wrong or wrongly. You know, you're just, everyone starts somewhere and has to figure it out, and we'll get better over time. And you can always go back and tweak things. So you can update your titles. You can update your show notes. You can update the descriptions. You can update anything. And it's actually really good to do that. And it's encouraged to go back if you already have a portfolio or an archive of content, podcast episodes. That's awesome. You're not starting from square one. So you can just go back and just improve what you've already started. And SEO is something that it takes a while to see results. So it's not instant. It could be months until you see some of your content ranking that maybe you created a long time ago, but it's just not ranking yet. You can start doing those fixes now, and you'll see those results down the road, and it'll just get better and better. So don't ever feel like, if you're listening to this, don't ever feel like it's too late or you missed out. It's something that you can go back and work on continuously. It's a process. It's not an instant thing.
Well, I love this so much, because we say around here all the time, like, podcasting, content creation, like, it is a marathon. It's definitely not a sprint. Yeah. And you know, we're in it for the long haul. And, you know, I think for me, that's where I got really impatient with SEO too, is, you know, I would finally find that one perfect keyword that no one else had really used before, and I would use it. And then, oh man, I'm still not, like, I'm on the third page of Google, right? Like, I'm not on the first, like, front and center, I'm on the third page. But now, and looking back in some of my older episodes that I did optimize, that I do still keep talking about, and I'll go and link back to those show notes, I've started to see that they have risen simply because they just needed time. They needed more people to search for those things. So Chelsea is just like, I am 100% on board with everything that you're saying, because it's just a marathon and not a sprint. Oh my gosh, so much.
That's such a good way to put it. You're so right. And I love also that you mentioned about going back and linking to old episodes, because that interlinking is really great for SEO too. So when you go to an old post and you link it to a new one, or just another post or episode that is related to that one, it's just giving Google an easier way to crawl through your content. And then they have a better idea of how to represent it and how to show it to other people. So going back, interlinking, you know, making your articles and your show notes longer, including images if you can, linking out to other things. Like, you're just doing yourself so many favors by putting that little bit of effort in now. You'll see it down the road pay off.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. I think that, again, it's one of those things that I felt like, in really studying and trying to understand how this all worked together, I felt like I was consuming lots of podcasts, lots of articles around SEO. And then one day I felt like all these puzzle pieces just aligned and they clicked for me. So I'm hoping that someone's listening to the show today. Maybe we're that, like, missing piece of the puzzle that they needed to hear it, because you're explaining all this so well, especially because this is more of a complex strategy. It's not something that I recommend all podcasters do. So what I'll typically tell someone is, get going with your podcast. Maybe do it for 3 months and really just get your bearings on creating content on a consistent basis, and then start exploring show notes. And so with that being said, I do want to switch gears and ask you from a perspective of someone who's done, I'm sure, thousands of blog posts, and you've experimented like with pictures, long post, short post, with audio, without audio, maybe with video. If someone were just trying to get their feet wet, right? They're just kind of dipping their toes in the water. What type of format do you think would be the best place to get started? So for me, my posts for my episodes are the bare minimum that will make Yoast, my SEO tool, happy on WordPress. I mean, I'm like, I'm just trying to get that green face on Yoast, where it's like, okay, you're good, you're optimized. Other than that, like, it is bare minimum around here. But I know that some people want to know, well, what does that even look like? So do you have any suggestions for them?
Absolutely. And that's great that you're using an SEO plugin like Yoast. I use Rank Math. It's really helpful too. A plugin like that, it will guide you and let you know that you're on the right track. But of course, it's not telling you, okay, you're going to rank, right? There's a lot more that you then have to focus on your content, but it's definitely giving you a great guideline that you're on the right track. So absolutely, if anyone's listening, check out Yoast, check out Rank Math. They're both free WordPress plugins. And you can actually use a transcription tool. Crystal, I'm sure you have one that you recommend. And that way you can just upload the MP3 version of your podcast episode. An online tool will make it all written out for you. You can just go and edit it. And that is what you can use as a base for your blog post that you're going to use to promote the episode. And this can be, you can even just have it right there on the page. Those are your show notes. People can go and read it. Or you can make it something that's a download. But what I like to do is, when I'm formatting my blog post for an episode, I'll start with a great image. Google loves an image. No text, if possible, or just maybe your website address on the image, some sort of watermark. You start there with a great big image. Have a big headline. Maybe it's the title of your episode. Either way, you're just going to want to make sure that your headline is optimized with great keywords and it's really answering the question that people would be typing into Google. So if your episode is about how to grow tomatoes, you're going to want to have something like that, how to grow tomatoes, in the title, because that's the main part of the episode. And then in the first paragraph, repeat what you just said in the title. So you're in that first paragraph, that opening paragraph, you're going to repeat what the episode is going to be about. So you let people know right away. And then I also like to have some sort of teaser to make them want to keep reading or keep listening. You will want to tease something that they're going to learn in the episode by listening to it, or maybe down lower in the blog post. You just want to encourage people to hang around. And then what I do is I embed my episode into that blog post. So you could just click and listen to it right there, or you could also click a link where you could go to iTunes, Google, Spotify, wherever you have it, have those links there so that people can go and listen on their app of choice. And then use those show notes to build out the article. And the more quality you can provide, high quality in your article, and really dig into the topic, that's really going to help you. Remember to use your different headers. So you'll have all the keywords in every header. You'll break up your paragraphs. So you never want to just put out an article that's just one big long wall of text. You know, you have to make it easy for people to read. And this is sort of a side tip, but I always like to mention this, is check that your actual paragraph font size is easy to read on mobile. I like 19 pixels for a size for font. Anything smaller than that, it can be really difficult for people to read. And Crystal, I'm sure you are subscribed to a million email lists, as I do too. And I always notice when people are sending emails, if the text is too small, I'm just not going to read it.
Right.
Right. So think about that for your readers too, when they're visiting your show notes and your blog posts. maybe they'll listen to the audio. That's great. But you're also, you want them to read the post because that's where you're going to have your affiliate links and the things that you're promoting that you want people to click on and go buy. So you really have to make it an enjoyable, easy place for them to hang out and get that content.
I love that so much. Oh my gosh, my head's exploding. I'm sure that everybody that just heard that, oh my gosh, we're going to have, maybe I can create like a simple example of everything that Chelsea just put together whenever we do the show notes for this episode, because I think that that was so helpful. And just having that kind of template, if you will, for people to get started, I think just really helps them take the leap, because a lot of people, that's what they need. Like I know you listeners, I know that you're like, well, I have a million ideas, but I don't know which one to start with. Chelsea just gave you exactly what to start with. Like, and you just, you're going to mess up. You're going to do something wrong. And like Chelsea said, I honestly, I'd never even thought about doing the text slightly bigger for mobile. So that's actually something I'm going to go back and revisit. You know, it's one of those QAQC things that you just have to do on your blog and your website from time to time, is make sure you're not just looking at it on your desktop. You're going to your phone and you're checking things to see how they work, because that is just such a great point to bring up. I have a technical question, actually, now that I'm thinking about it, because I do exactly what you're talking about with embedding the audio. So I use Buzzsprout as my hosting site. So I will go there, grab the audio embed code that they have, and I will put it in, I drop it in at the very top of my show notes. And then underneath that is technically where the blog article begins. But my question is, because I always get this from Yoast, it's like, you know, mention the keyword in the beginning. So does that part of it technically start when you start the article, or is it reading if there's text, because it will pull the episode description from my hosting site and put it underneath as like the first initial text? And then, am I making sense?
Does that make sense? You're totally okay. Making sense. I would always recommend to have text at the very beginning. So like the start of your article, put one or two paragraphs there explaining what the episode's going to be about. And then below that, embed the actual audio player below. So the article starts with the content that you want people to understand first. And you're also going to make sure that your meta description, now that's something, a meta description is something that you fill out in Yoast, as you say, or in Rank Math. And that is what Google is going to read first. So even though the beginning of your article is what people will read first, when the Google spiders or bots are crawling your site, they're going to read the meta description. They're going to read the title of the blog post and the actual URL of your blog post. So you want to have keywords in all of those three places first. So that's what I would start. I would write your meta description first, your headline, and make sure that the keywords are also in your URL. And then you're putting that, I know this is getting pretty deep, but then you're putting those keywords in your first paragraph. And then below that, you have your audio player embedded and maybe a Pinterest pin, something, some other sort of media there.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, I know. So for those of you that are like, y'all stop, y'all are geeking out. Maybe this is one of those episodes you come back to and listen again and again, because all of these points are really important, because this is the type of conversation I wish I would have had with someone who is knowledgeable about this as Chelsea whenever I first started. If I would have known this at the very beginning of my podcast or even just my online business journey, I feel like I would have been more confident in my ability to rank online and to get more of the organic traffic that I know your content deserves as well. So I hope that y'all listen to all the tips that Chelsea just gave us over and over again, because I think they're so important. But I want to transition for a second, because I was stalking you on Instagram, as we do when we have guests on our show, and I saw that you are a family of content creators. So I thought, how fun is that? That's so awesome. So I want to ask, because I know a lot of people in our audience, like my husband isn't a content creator, like he has a corporate job, but I know that there's other people in the audience that just wish that someone in their family or one of their friends would understand that they're trying to build something that they, you know, like, I think that this podcast could be really something big, but they're still struggling with that idea of explaining what it is that they're trying to build to other people. So did you have any of that in the beginning of your journey? And do you have any advice for them?
Yes. Oh, absolutely. So when I started my journey with content creation, at the time, my husband hadn't started his yet. He is a furniture builder, and he creates tables, and he basically builds anything and renovations and things like that. So when I started my blog, like before I started my podcast as my blog, I was putting so much time into starting it up. As we all know, when you're starting a new project, it takes up all of your time and energy. And explaining that it took that much time, it was tough. Of course it was. Oh, sorry, my dog is barking. Lucky. Sorry about that. You know, it can be tough if someone isn't already doing it themselves. And I know that we all want support from our family members. And especially if you're starting a new journey in business, you're going to feel like, oh, why is my best friend not sharing my Facebook post about my new business? Or why is this person not understanding or supporting? And the thing is that we have to remember, they're not your target audience. They're not your target market. So you really, although it's nice to have that support, it's not required to actually run your business. You just need to focus on growing the content and focus on speaking to the people who are interested in it. And it's also worth noting that your family probably just, they don't understand it because they don't do it themselves and they shouldn't have to, and that's okay. So I know we all feel kind of awkward about that in the beginning, and I definitely struggled with that at first as well. But then the interesting thing that happened is one day my husband got it, and he was like, oh, this is cool. Like, he saw that I was making money from it, and he saw how happy and lit up I was growing an online business. And he decided one day that he would start a YouTube channel. And so he started a channel sharing renovation tips and furniture building. It's pretty humorous. So he does like funny things with all of his technical DIY sort of videos. And he's been doing it for about a year now. And actually just yesterday he hit 10,000 YouTube subscribers. That's so awesome. It's just like so cool what can happen, but it takes time. And you just have to keep on focusing on what you want to do and understand that your loved ones, they love you. And of course we want their support, but they usually just don't get it. And that's okay.
I love hearing your perspective on that, because I think that that was a gift. Like, if anything in this whole episode, I think that that was something that was just packaged with a pretty bow, didn't give to someone because they really needed to hear that. Because I know, like you were saying, it's something I struggle with in the beginning, but now, like, my mom has a podcast, and you know,
wow, that is so cool.
Like, my dad, he may never get it. He's like, he'll say, well, I watched your podcast and it was a Facebook Live. And I'm like, well, you tried. He's trying to get it. But, you know, my husband, like, he's in IT in his corporate job. So he kind of understands, you know, what I'm trying to do, what I'm trying to create. But at the end of the day, you're right. Like, sometimes he'll say, well, you know, why is this one project taking so long? And then I'll explain to him, like, well, this tool has to talk to this tool, and we got to make sure all the links are, like, everything's working. And he's like, okay, never mind. I'm sorry. I asked. But I love hearing your perspective from being a family of creators. That's very, very cool.
Thanks. Yeah, we're just starting to work on our son's channel now. He's 4, and we're doing like science experiments and cooking videos and kind of fun stuff. So that's the next project for this year that we're working on.
Oh, how fun. How fun. And I love that you already know, because I'm sure, okay, here is like a for real question. Does it feel almost like it's too easy for them, because you've built empires, right? You've built your online empire, and now it's like, oh, well, I already know how to do all these things here. Like, let me just show you how it's done. Like, what has that experience been like?
Well, it's definitely, there's some shortcuts now, which is great. We can sort of use that experience, that sort of trial and error that I went through to apply to things now, and it makes it a bit quicker. But with online business, especially with marketing and media and like YouTube channels and things, there's always something new to learn. There's always something new or a new strategy or a new tool. So you're never done learning, even if you've been in it forever, like Crystal, like you have, like, you know that there's always going to be something new to figure out, or a new place that you may want to bring your business to, like Clubhouse. That's what I'm loving right now. I'm listening to it all the time and it's so much fun. And, you know, it's a totally new platform. There's always going to be another thing. And the other thing I want to mention about that is there's always going to be another challenge. And that's something that we just have to look at with excitement and know that we don't have it all figured out. Even if we're making $1 million a year, next year, there's going to be a new challenge that's going to hit us and we're going to have to figure it out. And that's part of the fun of online entrepreneurship, I would say.
For sure. I love that we're always constantly learning, growing, and, you know, leveling up in some way. If you're going from a one person, you know, entrepreneurship show, and then all of a sudden you're like, I got to hire some people to help me. It's a new levels, new devils, right? It's time to learn something new and try to, you know, bring people on board your team. But actually, I wanted to go back to something that you just said, because this was the last question that I really had for you. And then we're going to go into some rapid fire questions. But with your podcast experience, can you share with us one of the biggest obstacles that you had? Because I'm sure you've had some incredible wins and successes, but we also like talking about the things that are more challenging, because I think that that's really where we can learn and grow. So do you have anything to share about your podcast journey?
Oh, yes, for sure. It's kind of like, which one do I pick? you know, when you're starting a new thing, everything is new. So when I decided I was going to start a podcast, I was like, okay, I'm just going to jump in. And I'm glad that I practiced my first few episodes before actually publishing anything, because I did it even before I had a proper mic. I was just so lit up and inspired that I was just ready to start blah, 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 blahing. And, you know, if I had actually published those episodes, it would have been terrible. I mean, just talking into your built-in mic on your computer is not good. But also, like, when I was starting and I didn't know too much of the tech stuff, I made the mistake of publishing an article on my site and then publishing it again as a page. And I didn't know about duplicate content at the time. So duplicate content is when you have more than one page the same on your one domain. And search engines do not like that. They'll look at that as something bad. They'll cancel it both out and you may have trouble ranking. So when I was getting started and I didn't know about that, I was doing that and I was sort of like shooting myself in the foot. So I would just say that it's okay to make mistakes and you're going to figure it out as you go, but just keep your eye on websites and blogs and authority people who have been in the business for a while that are just going to guide you along the way. Because yeah, I mean, I made tons of mistakes and I don't consider them mistakes, because if I hadn't made them, I wouldn't have figured it out and I wouldn't have known to do better. And that's what it's all about. You just become better as you go.
Oh my goodness. That's just such a great point. I love that you shared that, because yeah, I think that sometimes when my mom started her podcast, it's about gardening. And she was so like, she was telling everybody, she go to a dinner party and she talk about gardening. She go here and she's like, I feel like I'm alienating all of the people in my life, because she was so excited about gardening. And then when she started her podcast, she said, oh, this is what I needed. I needed that. It's almost therapeutic for her, because she was like, I just wanted to tell people about it. And instead of telling people at a dinner party that were like, what? Is there a garden here? Are you creating a garden? Like, why are you bringing this up? And so now she's like, no, I have my people. I've found them. So 100%.
I love that. That's so sweet. I love that so much.
Well, I want to move into some rapid fire questions. So are you up for that?
Oh, yeah. Let's do it.
Okay. So the first one is, what advice would you give to a brand new podcaster?
I would say just jump right in. Go and do it. Don't get stuck in research mode and don't get stuck in overthinking it. Because if you sit around and you plan too much and you don't do, it's really going to get more difficult for you to actually get your content out there. And someone, I know this is rapid fire, I'm probably talking too much, but one thing that gets in our way when we're starting a new project is our own little internal voice or imposter syndrome that tells us, oh, we shouldn't do this, or there's already enough people doing this. Why do you think you should be talking about this? You have to ignore that voice and just go and push on and do the thing that you want to do. That's the only way to do it.
Oh, that's so good. So good. Okay, the next question I have is two parts. So who would be the dream podcast you would love to be on? And who would be your dream podcast guest to have on your show?
Oh, that is a really great question. Well, I would love to have Jen Sincero on my show. She wrote the You Are a Badass books. And she's just so funny and silly. Yeah. And I would love to be on the Smart Passive Income podcast. I think that would be a lot of fun to get to chat with Pat Flynn and nerd out about online business and the nerdy tech stuff that we all love.
Oh, I love it so much. I love it. Okay, so my last question is, do you consider yourself a perfectionist?
No, I'm not. I actually kind of just, I jump into things. And it sort of suited me well for blog flipping, like building and selling websites, because I love to just create something, get it out there, and then sell it and move on. I don't like to sit and focus on one thing forever. So running my business, herpaperroot.com, has been great because it allows me to focus on so many different types of projects under the one umbrella. But I think if I was a perfectionist, I would have a lot of trouble getting anything done. And I'd rather get it out and have it be interesting and exciting rather than perfect.
Oh, that's so good. Oh my gosh, Chelsea, this has just been like, there's been some surprising things that I'm like, oh my gosh, like this, you blew my mind. So I know that you have blown several people's minds, all of our listeners, but thank you so much for being on the show today. And I know that you wanted to share a little bit about a course that you have that you think would be perfect for our audience. So tell us a little bit about that and where everybody can find you online.
Well, again, Crystal, thank you so much for having me. You are just like, you're such a joy to get to talk to you about this stuff. It's so much fun. And yeah, so I have a course called the Blog Monetization Course. And this is a pretty big course, but it is self-paced and it has a little bit of everything. So if you're a podcaster and you want to come up with some new ways to monetize your show, even though the course is called the Blog Monetization Course, this is going to help you out and you can use it to monetize your podcast show, your website, your social media. There's a little bit of everything in there. We touch on digital product creation, affiliate marketing, sponsorships, ad revenue, all of these things that you can figure out how to set up and automate so that it's working behind the scenes so that you can just focus on creating content and having your guests and chatting and interviews and doing all the things that you love, but you know that there's certain money generating things working for you in the back end. So that is at herpaperroot.com/BMC, so Blog Monetization Course, what that stands for. And then as I had mentioned before, I have that free SEO course. I would love it if you came and check that out too. But you can always find me at herpaperroot.com or on Instagram at herpaperroot. And I would love to chat with anyone who's listening. And I'd love to check out everybody's shows too, because I need to load up some new podcasts as well.
Awesome. Awesome. And we're going to have all of Chelsea's links in the show notes. So you can definitely go check those out. Thank you so much for being on the show today. This was so much fun. And I have a feeling that we're going to be chatting again very soon because this was just such an incredible interview. So thank you for being on the show today.
Thank you so much.
So what did you think? Oh my gosh, it was so good. I told y'all, it was jam-packed full of little nuggets about SEO and website creation and blogging and all the things that I get questions about this all the time from you. I know that you're curious about having better show notes, which is exactly why I wanted to talk to Chelsea today. And I'm so glad that she came through with some truth bombs and just so much valuable information about websites and how we can do this better. So make sure you go to the episode show notes. You go to crystalprofit.com/episode224 to learn more about Chelsea, how you can connect with her, and make sure you go check out her resources. They're all going to be linked there. You can learn more about her, find more about her mini SEO course and the other resources that she has. But that's all I have for you today. So thanks for tuning in. And if this is your first time listening to this podcast, make sure you hit subscribe and leave us a rating and a review. We so appreciate any time that we can share this content with more people. And that's how we get out in front of more listeners. And again, the show notes for this episode are crystalprofit.com/episode224. And as always, remember, keep it up. We all have to start somewhere.